Welcome to Dollars and Cents, Creating Your Fulfilled Life with Nicole Romito from Private Vista. In this podcast, we draw from years of experience as well as guest specialists to help you create the life you imagine. Join us in this journey as we enlighten and empower you to align your lifestyle to help you achieve your goals with a clear picture of your future. Now, let's get to the show.
And welcome to the Dollars and Cents podcast with your host, Nicole Romito. Nicole, I'm very excited to be here with you because we're going into part two of what for me was a really entertaining and really educational podcast on vacations and planning vacations. So it's good to be with you again. I can't wait to hear what's going on today.
I know. I agree, Bill. I too am excited for part two of this. And Bird, happy to welcome you back.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So for our listeners, if you didn't catch the first episode, you can certainly join us today and then go back and listen to it. But this is part two of a fabulous two-part series on travel. In studio with me today is Bird Bergeron. And she has her own, she is the CEO and founder of her own travel agency, and they focus on the luxury travel space. Her innovative model redefines the role of travel agents by allowing them to focus on crafting a lovely bespoke experience, while specialized support staff manages the intricate details from invoicing and dinner reservations to spa appointments and beyond. Bird's commitment to curating exceptional itineraries is unwavering. Every booking undergoes a meticulous triple check process to ensure flawless execution and an unforgettable journey for her discerning clientele. We are going to pivot a little bit on our second part of the episode. So that's okay if you haven't listened to the first one. And one of the things Bird and I want to talk about, and we're both excited about it. She does the planning from, as we talked about, location and budgets and the experience. And I do the planning with the families on the financial side. And one of the trends I know myself and many of my colleagues at Private Vista have seen is for our families or, you know, groups of friends who are chosen families, they say, you know what, it's a big birthday, it's a big event, it's a big anniversary, or maybe it's just like, hey, we want to have one last hurrah, and they plan a family trip. And so most people think about legacy planning as inheritances or trusts or charitable contributions, and that's all fine and dandy. But we're going to talk about how do you create a lifetime lasting memory that all of you, I think at least from my clients' experience, and I know I've done this with my dad, you never forget it, and it truly is irreplaceable. So that's what Bird and I are going to talk about today.
I love it. Yeah, I will tell you one of the things that's on my vision board is I often work with the grandmother who is planning the trip and financially backing the whole thing for the adult kids and then the grandkids.
Yes.
And, you know, I always laugh because they're like, oh, I'm bribing my grandkids to spend time with me, basically. But I'm like, that's it for me. Like, I want to spend every dime I can just making new memories with my family. And that's why this episode, I think, will be really special.
Yeah, I do too. And it's funny that you mentioned the grandparents because I would see typically that's what we do see. And it kind of makes sense, right? They're at a point in life where they know they have enough assets to live life how they want to. You know, you also, as you get on with life, you also start to think a little bit more about your mortality. And it's fun for them to do things while they're still mobile and give their grandkids really quality time with them. I can think of one client, a couple, where they do a trip with their grandchildren for their 10th birthday.
Yeah.
And they go just them and just that one grandchild, and the grandchild gets to pick wherever they want to go.
I have a couple of families that do that. I have another one that does it on the child's 16th birthday, and just that one child goes with the parents. And I've always just thought that one-on-one time is something that's so unique, right? How often are you truly getting extended one-on-one time? I will tell you, though, I think 10 is the age to go because they're still kids and they still have that like magic and they haven't turned into teenagers yet.
Yeah. their head isn't buried in their phone the whole trip, right?
Yes. Yeah. 10's perfect.
So that's good to know. And I know at least the clients I'm thinking of, they said even just on the flight, one child picked Paris And, you know, so it's, you know, better than me, but like a 9-hour flight, I think, or, and so there
depends
like,
on where you're coming from, but yeah, seven to nine.
Yeah, good point. But they just said, even on the flight out, we had such great conversations. So they're literally just on the plane and they were already having these wonderful conversations.
I love that.
Yeah. So as we're talking about it, you know, we've talked a little bit about sometimes the grandparents are saying we're going to do, you know, just on a set birthday, each grandchild gets one-on-one time with us. I have other clients I'm thinking of for the grandpa's 85th birthday. They did what you did. Kids, spouses, grandkids. They're at a point where some of the grandkids are engaged or married. So they're spouses too. I think they had about 15 and they did an amazing trip to Africa.
Oh, how incredible. And again, it's just something that you know that they're going to remember for the rest of their lives. So I always think that's really interesting. But I think that a lot of times adults, when they're thinking about planning trips, it feels very overwhelming, or they feel like, well, why would I bring kids to Europe? They're not going to have fun there. Right. And they're not right. They're not thinking of what Europe could look like through a kid's eyes. And that's what we specialize in, Europe and Africa. And we found all kinds of little like twists and new ways to do things where you're seeing the same thing. So a great example is the Colosseum. I have this one vendor that I work through that I love there because they'll set up basically like a gladiator kind of fight situation for a kid, right?
Amazing.
So the kid dresses up as a gladiator. They come through the same doors that the gladiator comes through and they show them like what everything would look like. And what they're doing is teaching them history through real life, right? As they walk through those doors, they're explaining, well, this is where the slaves lived and this is why they were there. But it becomes alive and real to the child. So I think stuff like that is something that, I don't know, maybe enough people just don't think of all the different ways you could see the traditional sites, you know? It doesn't have to be London, Paris, Rome, and the traditional, all right, I'm getting on a bus and seeing the things, right? You got to do it different when you bring kids.
Right. I love that too. What are some other trips that you've planned where, like you say, you did it different? So like looking through the child's eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the biggest ones that parents always tell me, you brought up Paris earlier, so it just sparked my memory. Parents are like, oh, I'm not taking my kids to the Louvre. They're going to hate the Louvre. And I work with this one woman that just does this amazing job of creating a scavenger hunt through the Louvre. Of course, they end up in the Mona Lisa. Kids don't know what that is. They don't care. But the parents want to see it, right?
It's so if I can just say, how underwhelming. I'm putting it out there.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. If you can get within 40 feet of it, there's always exactly. So many people. Oh man. Yeah. That's one that I would say is not a priority to see, but it's great to do a scavenger hunt because then the kids are understanding, number one, just the vastness of art in the Louvre, which is in and of itself, amazing to see, but they're also kind of getting a better understanding of like, I've got to find this one thing in this one picture. Okay. Where is the picture? They're looking at maps. They're understanding how to navigate. So they're learning all these different things while the parents are saying like, oh, wow, look at this piece of art that's priceless, right? So I think, again, it's the same sites. It's not like I'm telling parents, hey, you've got to go to this resort in Germany that's just for families and kids. They have that, absolutely. Okay. But I think if you have Paris on your bucket list, let's just give it a twist and let's just show it to a child in a different way.
I love that. And how do you mentioned, I know that 10 is a good age from in your opinion. Is there any age, I don't want to say it's too young, but maybe what is the youngest age where you recommend if there is one? And then how do you start to advise your clients when, you know, I've seen it with clients, right? As the kids get older, you got all the crazy sports schedules. And then as they start in their adult life, you're trying to coordinate everyone's vacations. And if they have, you know, partners or spouses and their own kids. So I don't know, maybe if you have a couple like tips or ways to think about when your kids are on the younger side. And then now they're, you know, kind of going up and they're fully established adults.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you didn't hear the first episode, I have a 5 and a 2-year-old. So I'm just right in the middle of it in all the best ways. But I will tell you, as somebody that literally makes a living off of planning trips to Europe, I have not brought my kids there yet. And it's not necessarily the ages as much as the maturity. Now, I will say like getting out of car seats is really nice because most of my clients are taking private transfers, like from the airport to the hotel and stuff like that. And if we're okay. having to figure out car seats with all of it, it does take away from the enjoyment a bit.
Yeah, I can
so
see that.
Old enough that you're not doing that, I would say also done with naps. You don't want to just stop your tour in the middle of the day to go take a 2-hour nap. I think that that's really hard. Now, don't get me wrong. We have absolutely planned dozens of trips for families with 2-year-olds and jump through all the hoops. And if that's what you want to do, go crazy. But I'm going to say, if you're really looking at what's a good experience all around with like a lower level of stress, really about 7 to 8 is probably the youngest that I would take a child to Europe. Africa, you're going to want them to be a little bit older because you're going to want them to be able to truly understand what they're looking at, but also to sit in a car for a while. Remember, in Africa, it is a safari. You're sitting in a Jeep for hours a day in all the best ways. I mean, it's incredible, but a 7-year-old might get a little fidgety. You know, the last thing you want is a kid being like, can I have my iPad? Like,
well, no. you could let him out and the lion could have a special snack then.
Perfect. I love the way you think. Remind me not to let you babysit.
You can tell I don't have kids, right?
I love it for sure. So yeah, I think different areas are different ages, but those between like 8 and teenagehood are just magical years to get to do things. You also mentioned timing.
Yes.
Timing is so hard because remember the rest of the world also has the summer off. So we're going to have just like, you know, if you go to Europe in July, it's a nightmare. It's so many people.
So
I would say spring break is the best because the only other option is going to be Christmas, right?
Yeah.
What is happening in Christmas is everybody has off. It's narrowed down to about a 2-week period and everyone is traveling in those 2 weeks. So it is the peak of the peak of the peak of the peak for pricing ever, no matter where you go or what time, like that's it. So avoiding Christmas if you can. Spring break luckily moves around for different schools or around different times.
That's true. That's a good point.
So that could be a little bit easier. But yeah, if you're going in July, just buckle up and be ready for the crowds.
Oh my God. I think I would need a nap if I was going to Europe because I'd be getting crabby.
All day. Yeah. So.
All right. So we've talked a little bit about ages and things like that. What about, you know, if I would think, and at least from the experiences my clients have shared, and then I mentioned on the prior episode, my dad and I did a trip to the Galapagos, and that was just, it was a trip of a lifetime. How do you help whoever's planning the trip and most likely paying for it then, how are some of the things you help them think about to make the trip really stand out?
Yeah, that's great. So again, kind of understanding what the interests are of everyone on the trip, not just the primary traveler. So in all reality, I'm going to sound a little sexist here because I'm going to keep saying she, but she is normally who is planning the trip, right? So grandma is typically doing the planning, and this is usually someone that I've gotten to know over the years and really understand what she likes and what she has to do. But if there are new travelers, I will always make it a point to say like, well, what does that child enjoy? And if that child is really into reading, maybe there's a special library that's really fancy that they would like to see. Or if the child's, you know, just, oh, they're super active. Okay, great. Here's this amazing hike we should take them on. So taking into account everybody's kind of what is going to be their special memory and takeaway, what I try to do is at least once in that week, that it's typically a week, right? At least once in the week that they're gone, have a special memory for each person on the trip. And I think that that's a great, fun conversation to have with the person planning it. But there's one other big step. So the person planning it is going to do the boring stuff, right? So I'm talking to grandma and we're going to figure out which hotels and we're going to figure out the transfers or the trains and the flights and stuff like that, the logistics. What I think is really important, if you have a child that is old enough to partake, is to figure out a way to make them partake in it because they're going to enjoy it that much more. Has anybody ever cooked dinner and gotten their child to cook dinner with them? And all of a sudden they're eating like a kale salad and you're like, what? And they're like, well, daddy, I made the kale salad. Did you? they enjoy things more when they participate. So a lot of times what I'll do if I have like teenage kids is I'll involve them in something low stakes. So dinner reservations are a great example where I'll say, okay, let's research together and see what the best restaurants are. And you tell me what you think we should do. And what time do you think your family is going to eat? And I'll kind of involve them again, low stakes. Like if you're typically going to find a half decent restaurant, or I could steer them in a better direction.
I was exactly. If you're giving them the list of options, you're kind of like, all right, there's no bad choice.
But then they're done with the excursion and they're like, we're all going to the dinner place that I picked and we get to go here, right? And they're going to enjoy that more. Yes. Just feel like they have some ownership. I think that that's a really important piece that a lot of people overlook is how do I give this kid ownership over this experience to where it makes them that much more excited.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that. What about, and maybe do you want to share, I'm not going to put you on the spot and say what was the favorite trip you planned, but maybe because I know you've planned a ton of them, and I don't want to say which child is your favorite. What about like,
what are we not supposed to have a favorite?
I don't have kids, allegedly. That's what people tell me, but I also know everyone does, right? I don't know if we could maybe just talk, like, finish up with some of the, like, if you want to share a couple of cool like activities or trips, or if you have any other tips or things to consider when planning this type of legacy trip.
Yeah. So I think with a big group, one of the things that stresses everybody out is moving around in general. So if you have a group of 10 plus, like doing something like London, Paris, Rome is a terrible choice. Instead, doing something that's more immersive in one location, but could have some day trips involved. And it also gives people the power to say like, I'm not going to go on Tuesday. That's not for me. I just want to relax. So I will kind of coach people with bigger groups, like let's do a villa. Let's do a larger house. They're not always as crazy expensive. Don't get me wrong. There's definitely $100,000 villas, but they're not always crazy expensive as people think. So I'm like, let's do a larger house. Everyone can stay there, and then we could rent, you know, have a private driver drive us to this place to stay and this place to stay and this place to stay. And again, if there's a member or two of the family that's like, hey, that's a lot, I just want to hang, they have that option to kind of stay behind. And I think it just takes the stakes down a bit. It doesn't feel as much pressure as much going on. It's just a little bit easier in general for the whole family to kind of get what they need out of the vacation. Because we're all in different places, right? Some people need a ton of relaxation.
Yes.
I'm that person that is absolutely exhausted, strung out, burnt out. And then I plan a vacation where I'm hiking like 15 miles a day. So I think like whatever it is that fills your cup, it's a little different for everybody.
No, I agree. I, in traveling with my boyfriend, I can't remember where we were, the last trip we were going on, he's like, cause you know, I'm a planner, right? He's like, can we not just be planned out? Can we just, you know? And I was like, oh, okay. How's this going to turn out? But yeah, I was like, all right. And I, you know, I was good. I didn't, but I'm just like, and I told him, I'm like, I'm not spontaneous. So
yeah,
that's fine. I won't plan, but you can't turn to me and be like, where are we going to dinner tonight? Or what are we going to do today? Cause I'm like, I just freeze in the moment. My brain goes blank. I'm like, no. So
I tell my husband that I'm not planning. And then I have a whole list of stuff. So when he says, what's for dinner? I'm like, I don't know. This place might be good. I've like already researched. I know what I'm ordering for dinner. Like we're there.
Yeah, I'm not playing into that madness. If you're telling me I don't need to plan, it's all on you then.
You're better at the control. Come on.
Well, I don't know about that. But yeah, exactly. Okay, good. Well, I think, is there anything else you want to share to wrap up the episode?
I think the biggest thing, if you didn't hear the first episode, it's really just about timing. One of the things that we work really well with is we kind of try to map out the next couple of years with a client. So a client may say, hey, I want to go to Italy with my family. Well, we're going to take a step back and say the best time in Italy to travel is X, Y, and Z. Does that feel like the right time for you? You're going to say yes. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to back that up by 10 months. And I'm going to call you right at 10 months and say, hey, Sarah, it's time to start planning your trip to Italy. We want to get ahead of the rush. We want to get it when there's the most availability for the cheapest prices. So I kind of help keep my clients on track a little bit better. So like you said, some people aren't planners and I don't want it to be 2 weeks before and they're like, oh yeah, I forgot. I wanted to go to Italy.
Yeah. We leave on Tuesday.
Exactly. Like I want to get ahead of it. And sometimes my clients do tell me like, oh, it's too far out. I can't think about it now. And that's fine. But I'm also going to know and be able to reach back out and say like, oh, it's been 3 more months. Let's start getting the ball rolling. So I think more just getting in front of what you want to do will give you a much better experience in the end.
Yes. Yeah. I could not agree more, because as you know, and our listeners do, that's what we do for a living. Our clients hire us to plan. And I know travel is typically a big part of everyone's kind of forward-looking plan and some of their like dreams and goals of what they've worked so hard for to be able to do when they have more time. So I appreciate that. You know, one thing I didn't ask you in the last episode is how do you get paid for your services?
Oh, great question. This is always a huge misunderstanding. I get all the time, well, it costs so much to use a travel agent. Travel agents make commission from every hotel everywhere in the world, every cruise line everywhere in the world. They pay commission. So if you go on to Marriott.com and book yourself a hotel, I would also go on to Marriott.com. I would book the hotel for the exact same price, but I'd put my special little fancy number in there, and that's how I get paid. I make commission at the end of the day. Okay. Some of our advisors will charge a fee, but they're charging like $100 to $200 for the whole trip. That's not per person per day. It's for the whole trip. And really what that is we just want to know you're serious. We have so many like dreamers in our industry where, you know, somebody says I have this and then they don't. So for us, it's really just a bit of a gatekeeper. It's like I said, a couple $100 at most and we're good to go. So we're making commission off of the hotels, the tours, the transfers, stuff like that. All of our partnerships.
Okay. Yeah, I think that because I do know there is that big kind of that misunderstanding or misconception about it. So I wanted to make sure you had a chance to clear that up.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for doing this lovely two-part series with us today. I know I learned a lot, and I certainly will be reaching out to you as we're planning some big upcoming trips. So I'm excited
for that. So exciting. I can't wait.
And for our listeners, if they are like, wow, Bird sounds amazing, and I want to do, you know, a family trip or just a trip for myself, how do they get in touch with you or your team?
Yeah, the best way to do it is just to go to our website. The company is The Travel Birds. So the website is just travelbirds.com.
Awesome. Thank you.
That was great. And by the way, just speaking as a parent whose kids are now adults, but when they were younger, that's a brilliant travel hack. Get the kids involved with some aspect of it.
Yeah.
You do get a buy-in.
In a whole different way, right? Yeah, they get so excited over something that you would have never thought.
Yeah, no, and it's very cool. That was a lot of fun. Thank you, Bird. Thank you very much. It's two great episodes. And I will remind you before we get out of here, you can go listen to part one. But before we get out of here, Nicole, if people are listening and they want to get a hold of you, what is the best way for them to get in touch?
Yeah, absolutely. So through our website, which is myprivatevista.com, on the homepage, there's a contact us button. You can fill out your information, reference this episode, and either myself or one of my wonderful colleagues will be sure to reach out.
Fantastic. The other thing you can do, and this should be a good lesson for you, is if you're a subscriber, you would already know about part one. So go ahead and subscribe, because every time Nicole drops an episode, you're told you can give it a listen. And if you like them, please, I would ask that you tell people about them. Word of mouth promotion is great. Don't forget to check out part one, because if you listen to part one, you can answer the most important question of all. What color is penguin poop? It's not what you think it is. Until next time, I'm Bill Tucker on behalf of Nicole and everybody at My Private Vista. Thank you for taking the time to listen.
Thank you for listening to The Dollars and Cents, Creating Your Fulfilled Life with Nicole Romito, sponsored by Private Vista. Visit our website at www.myprivatevista.com or give us a call at 312-831-4370. And don't forget to click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. Private Vista is a group comprised of investment professionals registered with Hightower Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Advisory services are offered through Hightower Advisors, LLC. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities. No investment process is free of risk, and there is no guarantee that the investment process or the investment opportunities referenced herein will be profitable. Past performance is neither indicative nor a guarantee of future results. The investment opportunities referenced herein may not be suitable for all investors. All data or other information referenced herein is from sources believed to be reliable.
any opinions, news, research, analyses, prices, or other data or information contained in this presentation is provided as general market commentary and does not constitute investment advice. Private Vista and Hightower Advisors, LLC, or any of its affiliates make no representations or warranties expressed or implied as to the accuracy or completeness of the information or for statements or errors or omissions, or results obtained from the use of this information. Private Vista and Hightower Advisors, LLC, assume no liability for action made or taken in reliance on or relating in any way to this information. The information is provided as of the date referenced. Such data and other information are subject to changes without notice. This was created for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed herein are solely those of the authors and do not represent those of Hightower Advisors, LLC, or any of its affiliates.